Get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
Yeah. Wow, we're starting early today. What's up with that? Oh, of course, it's probably this goofy clock I have over here. But hey, folks, you are listening to SDORC Dirt Radio. I'm Dave. And this is FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Well, geez, normally we don't start for another 3-4 minutes, but I guess we just didn't have any advertisers. But then again, bottom of the hour could be different than all the rest. Hey, if you've not heard about this show, Audrey, Ed, and I, we've been doing this now for, well, we've been doing single show for a year, and we've been doing this show for probably a month.
Yep.
And it's to support the Off-Road Coalition and their hard work that they do every single day of the year to try to keep the deserts open for you and your family. I mean, it's so, so, so important. And we just don't get enough support, and so we decide we're going to put a radio show together, and so neener, 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 here you are.
Yeah, yeah. We are all volunteers. Nobody gets paid to do this job.
Nope.
Ed's been doing it for a couple decades.
20-something years?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm coming up on a decade.
Yeah, you're coming up on
nice.
It.
Nice.
Yeah.
Slowly but surely.
Slowly but surely.
Started young.
Just don't call me Shirley.
Yeah, but SDORC, we are a nonprofit. We are the San Diego Off-Road Coalition. This is our Dirt Talk Radio. We talk our dirty tidbits and get it all out there. I know, I get it.
You just had to say
that.
I
had a surprise look on my face. I want to see those dirty tidbits.
Yeah, she definitely, folks. She
that's
is
our
a,
behind the scenes.
She is a dirty tidbit, let me tell you. But, you know, it's what I guess is what amazed me the most when I hooked up with you guys is that every day it's different. Every day somebody's trying to do something to close something or get rid of something. So it's not like something, folks, that you can sit on your in your couch and just not do anything, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, it is a constant battle. It seems like our rights are constantly in jeopardy, and getting access to public lands, there's always something going on with land use.
By the way, do you use propane at all?
I do.
Do you know that Governor Newsom is going to eliminate propane in 2030?
Well, oh my gosh.
Good for him.
He's put it out. He's going to not only eliminate it, but all the appliances will go away.
You're not going to barbecue. I'm sorry, but our infrastructure is not set up enough to handle the electricity overload.
Yeah, I think.
I'm sorry. When you look at the rolling blackouts that we currently already have going on across California, there's no way that our infrastructure will be able to conform and allow. Especially with his 2035 getting rid of gas-powered cars throughout the state of California.
With no infrastructure.
No infrastructure to handle this. Yeah,
I
don't foresee this.
He's not saying it's not like a rule. It's something that he would like to have.
Here it is right here.
I think that that only purposely came out.
Yeah, I'll let you read it. He is putting together a proposal, and I have it right here. And if you don't want this, dial 916-445-2841. That's Governor Newsom's office. And if it's, I'm giving you this number for off-road purposes as well. Because did you have the phone number to his office?
I do.
Oh, you're so, it's all tattooed on your arm.
Speed
but
dial.
We gotta fight the fight, folks. We can't let these people take over our lives. And that's exactly what they're trying to do.
You know, they have buses that run on propane. They convert them to propane. Do you know
on
why?
On purpose.
On purpose. Not because it's convenient, because it's not, but because the emissions are a lot cleaner. So doesn't that make sense? Let's get rid of propane, but keep diesel.
You know, you're preaching to the choir. So we didn't mean to interrupt yours because you have a, I sent you a really nice outline too.
I seen that. Thank you.
So what's kicking today? What do we want to talk about?
Oh, we've got a few different things going on today that we are going to get into. We're going to bring, and unfortunately, there was a new letter that came out for Oceana Dunes. We'll touch on that next. The California Coastal Commission staff released a letter for their coming up meeting, and that just was a sucker punch. No, it's not good. We're going to talk Glamis and the Imperial Sand Dunes, a little bit of what's going on out there in the DAC subgroup, the Desert Advisory Council. There was a military plane crash the other day. There was two crashes that happened. I don't know if you were aware of that. Out by the Salton Sea in Ocotillo Wells.
Oh, no kidding.
F-35 went down in Ocotillo Wells. There's video of it on Facebook.
Oh, no.
You can see the everybody fireball. Okay?
Yeah, everybody's okay. I mean, we were out at Tierra del Sol, and we were camping back in March for Tierra del Sol's Desert Safari.
I camped with you there.
Yeah.
Right on Holly Road.
Right on Holly Road, right off of Holly Road.
It's about a half mile south of Holly Road. Right at the where it turns, where the bathrooms are, it's the guy was camped there and he was filming the airplane flying, and he just kept going down. It's a spectacular piece of footage.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I can't believe that and, that happened.
Did you see the pilot eject?
Yeah,
he got out. Yeah, he even.
But I mean, did he get that on film too?
Yeah.
It was a spot.
Yeah, just a speck.
You can't hardly see it.
Just one pilot, nobody in the back.
We'll get into
Looks
it
like
more.
Two. Yeah, we'll talk about that all coming right, up all right, though. All right. We also have got upcoming events and
we have a meeting coming up too. Is that open to the public?
Open to the public. Anybody and everybody is coming up.
So we have the commission meeting coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? And then we have the railroad meeting.
Yep.
Is coming up at the end of October. Mm-hmm. And they're going to release a plan next week. I guess.
Really?
This coming week.
Yeah, October 8th.
But you don't know if that's going to be a positive plan or a negative plan.
We'll see. That's the plan. It's likely to be positive. And it's,
you think?
They wouldn't be doing this unless they were doing something for us.
Really?
I said that. Yeah.
Okay, I'm cautiously impressed.
Yeah, we haven't seen that letter yet, so we'll see what happens with that because the California Coastal Commission letter that just came.
Transportation Commission is sponsoring this, so. They're serious about it.
Well, that's good.
It's pretty impressive that, and you know, you talked about like we work all the time on keeping places open. I mean, mm-hmm. decades ago we were losing land left and right, but there was so much more. You care, but it's not like, you know, all hands on deck. We have to do something.
Right.
And it's gotten down to where we don't have very much, mm-hmm. and now what's left, it's super precious to us.
Sure.
So people like us, we've figured out how to work within the system. To keep places open.
Right. Because
there's plenty of people who work outside the system. They throw rocks and they ride in the wrong places and they do stuff. But we're trying to work inside the system. And the system is relatively fair. You know, everybody gets to have their say. You know, you don't win every time, but you get a fair shake.
And there's never always a lot of benefit in being negative. I mean, because, you know, all these organizations, what do they have to win unless maybe votes? I don't know.
You mean the green groups
that
go after us?
Yeah.
There's money and there's control and they just feel like it's wrong. And, you know, we have a very compelling argument to them that they need to give us places to ride, to drive, to off-road, because if they don't, people are going to go out anyway and they're going to go in places where they shouldn't.
And they're going to destroy a lot of...
They're
going to
destroy stuff, resources, we call it, stuff that really needs to be protected.
Yeah, do you want it to be controlled and organized, or do you want to be
chaos?
Yeah.
And we don't want chaos. We want to all have fun. Mm-hmm. So that's a big argument, and it holds pretty good. And the environmentalists go along with it. The extreme ones don't. They just want us gone.
Right.
They don't care.
Right. And they're usually not
they
even
want us to be extinct.
And they're not even from our country in a lot of cases, as much as I hate to say that. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it right now. Well, they're usually not from our country. They're going to bring their rhetoric from the country they left and try to turn us into them. No, it's not going to happen.
And or even if it's usually possibly another state or another county, and
correct.
They're moving from another county, and they left that county for what it was or another state for what it was, and now they're here, and they're trying to change it to that.
Sure they are. And if we have anything to do about it, and you with all your help out there, we're not going to let that happen.
Yep.
All right. So what do you got? What else you got?
Oceana Dunes is the big one. They California Coastal Commission released a letter this week, and we can just get right into that because that's what I wanted to talk about next. Is the California Coastal Commission has a plan coming up and a meeting coming up on October 7th, 8th, and 9th. And so this, they released this letter in accordance with that. They just had last week or 2 weeks ago was the Air Pollution Control District meeting that went along with this, as well as the Off-Highway Commission meeting that all went along with this. So those two meetings happened, and the date of the first one, the after the Air Pollution Control District meeting, I guess the California Coastal Commission staffers released this letter. And this letter is devastating to off-roading. They basically came out with a five-year plan of what they want to do to phase out and get rid of off-roading and off-highway vehicle usage at Oceana Dunes SVRA.
Period.
That's just what it is. The staffer that wrote the letter, Ed and I, this is our own opinion. This is something that Ed and I have gone back and forth on for a little over a year now. And what we've discussed between the Air Pollution Control District, between the California Coastal Commission, we want to say the development, the developer for the
Shea
association, the homeowners association, Shea Homes,
a big community nearby.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
and they have two more planned, and they feel like off-roading nearby will hurt their property values. They think that off-roading is not good for home sales.
And they buy a home and it was already there?
Yeah.
I'm so confused.
And they're the ones that cut down the trees,
right?
That block the sand.
Yeah, you want to talk about environmentally insane? Yeah, they cut down freaking how many trees?
Hundreds.
600 acres.
600 acres
of eucalyptus trees that were planted in decades ago
for a reason.
For to help
years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
The
start of it was
blowing.
to help with the sand and the park.
We're not environmentalists, but we like the environment and we like trees.
Yeah.
So we thought we hatched a theory that Shea Homes was bribing some people in prominent positions, like
the San Luis Obispo County supervisor.
What was that guy's name?
Adam Hill.
The guy who committed suicide
recently.
Because it looked like it was coming out what happened. A guy from the Coastal Commission and a guy from the Air Pollution Control District. So the coastal commissioner we talked about, Kevin Kahn, he had issued a letter that was detrimental to off-roading a number of months ago, and we talked about it on the air here. So he released another letter, and this guy is the Air Pollution Control District.
No, he's the
Central Coast Supervisor.
He's the California Coastal Commission Central Coast District.
Oh, he's
District.
The Coastal Commission.
Yes,
yeah.
He's the Coastal Commission.
Yeah,
sorry,
he's
a staffer for the CCC,
so
California Coastal Commission.
So he's a supervisor. He's not a
Central District Supervisor.
That's like I think that's your first promotion.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's the supervisor. So he's he has it out for off-roading. And he wrote this letter that says they have a five-year plan and they want off-roading to be done. And he keeps referring to the LCP. So I look up the LCP. It's the Local Control Plan. I'm sorry, Local Coastal Plan.
So
and I suspect he wrote the coastal plan himself, and now he's referring to it like it's the gold standard that
right.
has to be.
Like he never had nothing to do with it, and that's what we're supposed to go
it's
by.
It's carved in cement. It's,
right.
We have to
follow.
So
just like how forests have management plans,
right.
The desert has a management plan, the sand dunes, Glamis sand dunes have the management plan, each of the beaches across the state of California and the California Coastal Commission come up with this local coastal plan. So they keep referring back to the local coastal plan for basically Pismo Beach and how they want it to operate. And they don't want any vehicle use out there whatsoever.
Right.
So we're talking about the number one state vehicular recreational area that was given to us by legislators over 100 years ago.
Now, when Audrey says number one, there's 9 off-road parks in California, and Oceana Dunes has the most usage. The most people go there. More people go there than Ocotillo Wells.
Right.
Even though it's a small fraction of the size. But people love Oceana Dunes. I mean, they get like 1.4 million visits a year.
Jeez.
And Ocotillo Wells gets like 800,000 visits. And people go there in the summertime. They want to escape the Central Valley heat.
Right. Yep.
They want a place to go, and this is the spot they all go to.
Well, and where else can you go camp on the beach?
For $10 a night. For $10 a night. You cannot get that anywhere else in the state of California. Every other beach
you
that you have,
on the sand.
We've got San Alejo. It's $35 a night at San Alejo. You can't, and you're in a man-made, up above the beach campground. You're not on the sand. At Oceano Dunes, Pismo Beach is the only place that you can throw your sleeping bag on the actual sand and sleep. I mean, wherever you want to.
So it's not a money thing, because if it was a money thing, they'd be raising the rate to camp there.
No.
So it's not a money thing. It's a control thing.
It's a control issue. It's a power play.
So if you're out there listening, I don't care if you're on the left, the right, or in the middle, and you don't want to be controlled by the government, then what can they do?
Make comments. Sign up. There is a meeting coming up on October 8th. We need your comments. You can go to I've shared it on our Facebook. It's been on Instagram. It's on Friends of Oceano Dunes' website. You can go to the California Coastal Commission meeting or Coastal Commission, and then it's one of the top things on their page. It says the meeting right there. You can sign up and register. It's a virtual meeting. I'm registered to speak at, but anybody, if we can't overwhelm them with comments. Last year when they did the comment period, it was at a hotel up in San Luis Obispo County, and there was thousands of us that showed up to speak. We had a 2-minute comment period for each person, and it went
from like 1 o'clock to 7 p.m.
And they had to cut it off, and there was still people that were not able to talk.
How can they cut it off? Hey, speaking of cutting it off, let's take a quick break. You're all listening to SDORC Dirt Radio on FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Good thing we have an hour and a half. All right, folks, welcome back to SDORC Dirt Radio on FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
I'm Dave.
I'm Audrey.
And I'm Ed.
And we're going to sit here till 1 o'clock talking to you about what's going on, Oceano Dunes. And right now, that's the hot point. That's the hot button right now, because we've got people that are working really hard, and I mean really hard, to take that opportunity away from you and your family.
Yeah.
No good reason.
Unfortunately, no good reason. You know, they like to use a snowy plover because it is a ground bird that nests on the ground. That's what they said it was closed for until October 1st, because the breeding season ended on October 1st. Well, October 1st was this Thursday. It came and went. And here we are, October 4th, Sunday, and it hasn't opened yet. They released a plan that said that on October 15th, basically starting October 15th, they want to phase it out. And it's closed right now until October 15th. It's supposed to reassess and possibly open at that particular point in time. They keep pushing out camping reservations because, there was a friend that was supposed to go camping starting tomorrow, and they just pushed his reservation and canceled it again. So since March, they've canceled thousands of camping reservations. It's costing them thousands of dollars.
The people within Pismo Beach, I mean, the businesses,
they wanted to open.
Aren't they?
Everybody.
Why are they not raising holy hell?
Oh, they are. They are, believe me. They've been on, they're trying to get on as much TV as they can. There was just another KYSB, which this is in San Luis Obispo. Mm-hmm. So that is kind of like our KUSI.
Gotcha.
They're more friendly to off-roading, and they want off-roading there. And so they've been promoting it, and they've been on the TV there. Friends of Oceano Dunes has made it on a few different times too. Promote it, but it's like it's falling on closed minds and closed ears, you know. And there's no give and take. It's like it's been decided. This is what it's going to be, and we're not hearing you out anymore, and we're not working
we're
with
tired
you anymore.
Of, yeah, we're done with
and
you.
This is what it's going to be, and the way it's going to go. And it's like, no matter how much we fight, no matter how much we raise our concerns and speak about it,
and they have the power to do this.
Unfortunately, yes, because the California Coastal Commission is the person who oversees the operations of Oceano Dunes SVRA. The Oceano Dunes SVRA maintains a permit, or gets a permit from the California Coastal Commission, to operate each year. And what's happened is its permit's coming to what we call a sunset, so it's coming to its end, and right. It's getting a new plan.
And what about the rangers that work there? Are they all going to lose their jobs?
I don't exactly know how this is going to happen because, again, right now what's funding all of this is our OHV money. It's coming from our off-highway vehicle trust fund, which is funding all of this.
Our OHV money has been studying birds and sand a lot more than helping off-roaders over there.
Well,
I mean, it's really a tragedy.
Then why are you paying it?
What's your option? You don't
not
pay
paying it.
Well,
I know, and then your whole program folds.
What?
And then
you
still have a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah,
we're not ready to throw in the towel yet.
I
have a buddy. He says, "Let them close everything, because when everything's closed, then nothing's closed."
That's exactly right. That's exactly what I'm thinking. I mean, if you had, and I'm not advocating.
How are they going to catch everybody going
that's
everywhere?
Right. I'm not advocating doing anything illegal, but if thousands and thousands and thousands of people showed up at Oceana Dunes, what are they going to do?
Call the National Guard.
Yeah. I don't see a way to stop it.
Are you kidding? The National Guard would get there. We'd give them a couple of beers, some hot dogs, and sit on the beach, watch the sunset.
So we talked about the letter and this guy, Kevin Kahn, the staffer. He works for the Coastal Commission. Well, so there's two bodies going on here that a lot of people don't really understand. That there's the commissioners who are appointed to their position.
By the governor.
By the governor. And they vote on things. And then there's staff. There's staff for different parts of the coast, like the Central Coast Supervisor is part of a staff there. So they're separate. And this guy, Kevin Kahn, is a staffer, and he believes the area should be closed. But that's not necessarily what the commission thinks. So the commission is going to take public input, and they're going to vote on some stuff. And by signing up to speak or to writing comments to them, you can tell the commissioners that we value this as an off-road vehicle area and that you need to keep it that way. So we're not done because this crazy Kevin Kahn is in there having it out for us.
We
still can have an effect on the Coastal Commission.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what happened last year when we had thousands of people show up at the hotel and overwhelm them. That's why it got extended out. That's why we got a 1 year to be able to review it and come back to it.
So the commission voted against the recommendations of the staff
last year. Yeah.
Last year or
and we
earlier this
gave
year.
Us 1 year to operate to, and review.
It gave state parks the chance to form a public works plan and to execute it and to help fix the dust and some other issues over there. So they voted against what this Kevin Kahn recommended.
Right.
So there is hope. It's not like it's a done deal. But people like us have to tell the government, hey, this is what we want. We like this area for off-roading. We want to camp on the beach and drive around.
And don't listen to Kevin Kahn.
Yeah.
That guy's a nut.
Mm-hmm.
How does he get... I mean, oh, my God.
Well, you know, there's big money behind it.
Well, sure there is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it. You know, that's really the bottom line. If you're really...
If this Shea Holmes is really behind all this, I mean, that's a multi-billion dollar company.
Well, if they,
thousands of employees, and they're a national organization.
Yeah.
And like I said before, these kind of developer companies, they know how to work the system.
Yeah.
They know what it takes to grease the wheels of progress, and they grease the wheels with money.
I think what they want to do is close Oceana Dunes and put homes on the beaches.
Right. It's possible. I wouldn't doubt that.
I mean, wouldn't you love to be able to buy a home right on the beach, put it on stilts and
go
be right...
anywhere else in the state of California, Dave. I can't even. Go somewhere else, Dave.
I know, but that's what I'm worried about, folks. So that's what you got to be aware of. They're not doing this just because of their, it's not an environmental thing. Trust me. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Why? Because we have to. This is FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome to FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
This is SDORC Dirt Radio, and we are going to be here till 1 o'clock talking everything off-road. There's a lot of action going on in Sacramento that's not on your side if you're an off-roader. And even if you're not an off-roader, they're taking away things that they shouldn't be taking away. Audrey, what do you got?
Well, I just want to reiterate that when it comes to the California Coastal Commission, when it comes to our scandal, that is my opinion, mine as being Audrey Mason with San Diego Off-Road Coalition.
I agree.
And
I think it's a scandal, too, but it's only SDORC thinking that. There's a lot of other groups that haven't weighed in on it publicly.
Yeah, and we work with a lot of other groups. You know, we mention, you know, CORVA. We mention ASA, American Sand Association. We mention Cal 4 Wheel. We mention Friends of Oceana Dunes. We've worked hand-in-hand with lots of them. But I just want to reiterate that that's our opinion in regards to what's happening with that. And I do really feel that there is some scandal going on back there and behind the scenes backdoor dealings with Oceano and trying to get it closed down.
Seems like it, doesn't it?
And unfortunately, if they do win Oceano Dunes, what happens at one state vehicular recreation area will trickle to the rest of them.
To others. They can start looking at Ocotillo Wells the same way.
Well, California has always been.
Imperial County is a farming industry. It's our farming location as well. It's already been hit once or twice with litigation. It's been sued already for its particles.
Sierra Club sued them not too many years ago.
Yeah.
What, they want to close down?
Superstition and Ocotillo Wells, unfortunately.
They were going after off-roading out there and the dunes.
Mm-hmm.
Imperial County hired a wonderful lawyer, and he went after him. And he was able to show that most of the particulate that they were worried about was coming in from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out when they have these holidays in Mexico, that everybody likes to barbecue. And on some of those... the worst days of air pollution, the winds had gone from the south north and blown all the stuff from the barbecues.
Really?
In Imperial County. Yeah, the guy, he showed that, and they went all the way to the Supreme Court, and Imperial County won.
Wow.
They beat the Sierra Club on that one.
Yeah.
That was a big one.
That's huge
between
for Imperial
County. The farming and the off-roading.
Yeah, because they were trying
the
to go over.
Things out there.
Yep, that was huge. So.
But they don't give up.
No, they don't. And if this was if
they think
they win Oceana Dunes, then long term Ocotillo Wells is
they're
facing some issues.
Next.
It's next. It's the next largest. It's the next.
Come after them all.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it will be all of them. They don't
want to pave it to stop the dust.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, something crazy like that, I'm sure.
How's anything? Okay.
But
so we're gonna talk about two airplanes that crashed in Imperial County, one right in Ocotillo Wells, and one a little bit north of the Salton Sea. But before we get into that, we're going to talk a little bit about the Imperial Sand Dunes.
Oh, yeah, we can roll right into Glamis and the Imperial Sand Dunes. Yeah, we keep talking meetings. So we do have, this is something that we've been working on now for a little over, well a few years, actually. But a year now, for sure, they've been hitting it hard. They actually came out with a feasibility study. So this is Glamis's Safe Railroad Crossing. There's currently over 44 miles of railroad that you cannot cross between whether you're at Gordon's Wells or Glamis, from the State Route 78 all the way through. And so they have finally addressed it. We've got the Imperial County Transit Commission that is reviewing and has stepped up. They're paying for a feasibility study. The draft study plan comes out on October 8th. The meetings are scheduled for October 21st and October 24th. We definitely need your comments on that. Imperial County Sand Dunes.
You can find your way to that information on the SDRC.org website.
Yes, and our Facebook as well, and our Instagram as well. We have it all up everywhere to get access to that. Sign up for that meeting. The Imperial Sand Dunes has had a lot going on lately. They just got or will be getting a new ranger station at Gecko Road. They've been working on improvements all year long. They've expanded and worked on Wash Road. And so Ed is a member of the Desert Advisory Council, the DAC. That's an honor for him to definitely be on. And so you've got some numbers to share with us, don't you, for how much the Rangers have spent
A lot of money moves around out there. So I've been on the DAC for about a year. And for 8 years before that, I was on what's called the DAC subgroup for the Imperial Sand Dunes. So the subgroup is a more concentrated area that they look at. And I've been on the dunes subgroup for, I don't know, however, 8 years or so. There's also a subgroup for Dumont Dunes. And that's these areas. So many people go to these areas that they require a group just to look at them separately. So in Imperial Sand Dunes, I got this from the Bureau of Land Management. They've been getting a lot of questions about how COVID is impacting the dunes this season. And according to them, there are no proposed campground closures at this time.
Wow.
Doesn't that make a difference between what state has done and how state parks has operated from Gruesome Newsom into the actual federal level?
Well, wouldn't you think states not communicating with local?
It's the counties.
It's the counties. It goes by county because it goes by the...
They were having some trouble, but I think they've got it more under control there. So they've rebuilt one-third of Wash Road. For those of you who don't know, Wash Road is on the east side along the railroad tracks.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole series of sand washes that cross, and people drive out there and find a place to camp. There's a huge amount of camping space.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So if you want to have more of a rugged camping experience, not on a paved road, and have a little bit of space around you. If you go out on Gecko Road, you know, you're door to door, you're bumper to bumper. Mm-hmm. So Wash Road is kind of nice. They said they removed tons of sand to keep the roads clear. They also applied a special material to keep the dust down on Wash Road. And the reason they work on the dust on Wash Road is because of that lawsuit that the Sierra Club did to Imperial County. So the Imperial County won the lawsuit, but they still have to do stuff.
Yeah, and if you've ever been out to Glamis and you've been camping off of Wash Road, there's a lot of traffic all day long on Wash Road. People are going there, you know, at noon the drag races start over off of Gecko. So you camp on Wash Road, you go and you ride, depending on if you have a dual-use vehicle or not, you can go down.
You don't want to go on the hard dunes, you go around, so you take Wash Road and go
Sand Highway all the way down and through to get to it, and it's fun, but some people to go in their trucks and they just want to go and hang out, and they don't, you know, because it's a decent distance travel. If you, well, like me, I camp at Wash 33, so it's, you know, about 15 miles for me to get over to the track races.
So they've moved a lot of sand. They've hired seasonal staff for emergency medical and for Pearson's Milk Vetch critical habitat signing. There's a endangered species out there, and they got to put signs out. They're working on the ranger station contract. They've re-oiled Buttercup Ranger Station parking lot and Glamis Flats off-ramp. They've extended the Glamis off-ramp with a 100-foot dirt road to the south where people used to get stuck. They repaired storm damage on Gray's Well Road.
That's
they got almost $1 million in grants from the state parks to do law enforcement, emergency medical, and maintenance. They said that the sand sports show has been moved and they will not be going to it. So they've sold an awful lot of permits at sand sports for the annual permits.
That's
for
their number
camping
one
at the dunes.
Yeah.
So they're not doing that. So if you want to get your dune permit, you can get it from the American Sand Association. Or you can go to isdpermits.net, and you can order it online. So the dunes, they actually have a budget. And I have a little piece of it right here. That last year, the fee program brought in about $3.1 million.
Wow.
And out of that, they spent about $581,000 on maintenance. So maintenance is like trash collection, taking care of the restrooms. Removing sand from the roads. I don't know if you ever camped out there, but the wind can blow at night and you drove in on a road, and then in the morning the road has 3 feet of sand on it, and there's no way you could drive a street legal vehicle over it.
Right.
So they have heavy equipment. They'll get right out there and they'll push it off.
Okay,
so
hold that thought for a sec. We got to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation on STORC Dirt Radio on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, welcome back to STORC Dirt Radio on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right. Well, hey, we're talking with Audrey Mason and Ed Stoven, and you were in the middle of...
Glenn. I was talking about money in the dunes.
Right.
How they're spending it. Because it's a lot of money, and we deserve to know what
they're spending money.
It on. It's our money. And you know what? I've been going to these dunes meetings for years, and we've raked over what they do and how much it costs, and they're really doing a good job out there. I do not want to beat up on the BLM.
Right.
They are doing a good job. So visitor services, $580,000. So what does that mean? Well, the biggest cost is emergency medical. They have rescue buggies on both the north and the south side, and they have people who are qualified to drive them anywhere in the dunes. They carry two people, a driver and an EMT.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody gets screwed up in a place that's hard to get to, and
they
it happens
it.
All the time,
mm-hmm.
they can get in there. They have, the way the buggy is that there's the driver and the passenger sits behind him, and they have a stretcher next to them. So they can load the guy on the stretcher, the driver drives, and the EMT can work on the guy while they're getting him out.
Right.
Then they can get him to a either an ambulance or to the life flight.
Yeah,
sometimes they fly people out of there.
Right.
So mostly emergency medical.
So you can understand that expenditure.
Yep. I am a member of
Reach?
Yeah, Reach Air Medical.
Reach?
I do. I pay for it for me and my husband, just in case we were to ever get injured out there. I'm out in the desert enough.
So there's an insurance?
Go big or go home.
Isn't it
because
$60 a year
I'm all out
something?
Gas out. Yeah, that's when in doubt, gas it out. I pay $100 a year for us. I give it a little bit extra.
And what does that get
over.
You? What does that get you?
If we were to get into an accident and we needed to be life flighted somewhere, a typical life flight ride, minimum you're looking at anywhere from $25,000 in fuel alone to, you know, $150,000 bill. And that's just for your airplane or your helicopter ride, your flight. So if you have on there, and I've got this little app on my phone, so if I get in trouble, I've got a little thing on it. So my phone has a lock screen.
You have to wake up and open your phone and hit the right thing.
Well, no, anybody can. The on my lock screen, you can access from it my medical information.
So you don't even need to, need to get in the phone.
You don't need to get in there. It will tell you that I'm a Reach member. It gives them my Reach information, my blood type, and my emergency contacts without having to open my phone.
For $100 a year.
For $100 a year, and then that covers any of my medical.
Free helicopter flight.
Yep, free helicopter flight, free. Wow. And Reach is set up everywhere. They've got helicopters everywhere. So I definitely recommend it.
2 weeks ago, we saw a Reach helicopter at Steve Gardner's memorial.
Yeah, they did.
They had
a
Reach helicopter fly over right when it started.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was awesome.
That was kind of cool. Because it's pretty quiet out there. And then the helicopter, like 100 feet over the deck. Like, it's obviously him.
Yeah.
And I don't have Reach.
You don't?
It's worth it.
I learned that my insurance covers it.
They'll cover your helicopter flight?
They covered my helicopter flight.
Yeah,
the only time I've ever been in a helicopter, I have no recollection. How cold.
Don't you hate that?
One of my girlfriends broke her back out in Ocotillo, and she was out on a dirt bike and just happened to hit a rut the wrong way.
Easy
and threw her over handlebars, and she ended up with $85,000 because her medical insurance only covered up to 30. So she ended up with $85,000 helicopter ride bill after because her insurance only covered so much of it. So,
and I don't know if you're aware of this, but it happened to a friend of mine. If you're unconscious,
they just take you.
Well, for any length, even if you come back and say, no, I don't want to ride. They'll say, sorry, you were out too long.
Yep.
And you go for a helicopter ride. And yep. You don't even have a choice.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, because you're dinghy for a while.
I was knocked
out for a while, and then they said I came to. My next memory was at night. Mm-hmm. I had my accident probably 11 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And my next memory was... it was after dark.
Well, reach is a good thing to talk about.
Yeah,
they said I was talking and walking and cracking jokes, but I don't remember anything.
Right.
So, well, I mean, you can't give consent if you're not of sound mind.
Right.
So I get that.
Speaking of accidents, there was a military plane crash out at Ocotee Wells.
I got to finish up his little...
Wait, let me finish.
Okay.
So before we get into that, that was visitor services, EMTs. Law enforcement was $800,000.
We're back at Glamis, and we're back at the Imperial Sand Dunes.
This is what the Rangers spend money on out at Glamis.
And Gordon's Wells and Buttercup.
You know, the worst time in Glamis history was around 2001. It was really disorderly out there. There were vehicle thefts. Somebody was digging trenches, and when they would crash their ATV, the guys would run over and take it.
Yeah.
It was that. But the worst part ever... was a shootout between camps. It made national headlines. So when we spend money on law enforcement, we like that. I mean, it seems like, okay, when I was young, I hated law enforcement in an off-road area. I didn't want them messing with me, talking to me or anything. But it turns out that law enforcement keeps an area peaceful. And if an area has trouble, it's a great excuse for the haters to get the area closed. $800,000. And you know, you have to buy a permit to go out there, either a weekly or an annual permit. And the permit, to manage that program costs money. It costs about $580,000. Then there's a little bit of overhead, $18,000 for labor, training, travel, and stuff. So the dunes, I guess the big thing to take out of this is that people are watching what they spend and making sure it gets spent properly. It's not wasted, and they're doing a pretty good job out there.
Mm-hmm.
And if they didn't have the fee money, they services would be cut, and it would just be more trouble out there. So
you have on here too the totals. So it looks like the fee program revenue was $3.1 million, and the total spent was almost 2.6. It was just under 2.6. So they
got a little money.
They have a little bit of play in the bank after that. So that's nice to know.
Well, that's good that they have a little bit in the bank. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to do something that comes up that they want to do.
Emergency, yeah.
So they get money from three sources. They get it a federal allocation. They get money from the passes that we buy. And they get money from green sticker grants.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that covers it.
Yep.
So, again, it goes right back to Oceana Dunes. I mean, everybody that goes out there pays for a green sticker. And they don't want to. They just soon have that money go away.
Yep.
And we're talking millions.
Yep. Millions.
I don't know how many millions it takes to run that place.
Well, can you imagine? But I mean, it just mind boggles.
How much of our money's wasted there? So let's talk about something way more interesting.
Okay, you got about 4 minutes.
September 29th, F-35 carbon fiber stealth fighter was getting fuel over Imperial County from a C-130, and they had a mid-air collision, and they both crashed.
Oh, so the C-130 was trying to fuel the F-35?
It was fueling. They were doing fueling, and something happened. Sometimes the plane that's getting the fuel comes in a little hot, right, because the C-130 is this big, slow-moving airplane.
Yeah.
So it comes in a little hot, and he doesn't quite... I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
The report will come out and we'll know.
But don't you think that more of those accidents should happen when you're doing a mid-air fueling?
I don't know. I mean, if you realize what those airplanes are worth.
Well, not only
how
that,
much training they
trying
have,
to fuel in mid-air going how fast between two?
I know.
We were talking about it. Well, that's like, okay, I tell you what. When you leave here, I want you to call a gas truck to catch you on the 8.
They'll never catch her. No truck can go that fast.
And roll up to you at 80 miles an hour and fuel your car.
That'd be hard enough. Do you know they do that for helicopters?
No, I know.
How do you fill? I saw a video of them filling a helicopter.
Okay. Yeah. So.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but everybody, the good news, everybody's alive.
Okay, so
yes,
the plane wrecked. So a guy was filming an airplane at on the north side of Ocotillo Wells. He was on Holly Road, where it turns from the south to the west.
Right where the
there's a restroom there.
Restrooms are there, and then the dumpster site's there. It's all caged in.
And he's filming to the south, and you can see the airplane coming down, and he'd expect it to pull up, and it doesn't pull up. It just keeps going down, and he hits the deck, and it's a huge ball of flames.
I mean, that would scare the living
crap out of me. Started out orange,
and then I've been out at Superstition after our Lost Lizard fun run. I stay out there for a week and a half afterwards. And you know, when everybody's gone and we're just out there and it's just us, those guys are out there all week long doing their maneuvers and flying. And they fly low. Like, when you're the only person out there, you can be up on the top of the hill, and I'm in the Jeep on the top of the hill just watching them. They come through 25, 30 feet over me. Like,
off the deck.
Yeah.
You can see the pilot.
It's exhilarating.
You can see his
face.
They come so close.
Yeah, I mean, so I
go to the top of super. Even on the out on the flats,
they do low. I wouldn't think twice of a jet coming low, flying at me at that. Yeah, are you watching it right now?
Well, I just found it, so we'll look at it at break.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, so these planes wrecked. So the C-30, the F-35 is a carbon fiber kind of plane.
So it's gone.
So it's a million pieces. And it hit a C-130. Now, the C-130 did a crash landing near the town of Thermal, and it crashed right next to an airport. So I think the pilot knew what he was doing, and he belly landed in a field. And the plane's relatively okay. All the propellers are broken off the right side.
Right.
And I don't think the landing gear worked. But he came in, and he made a relatively safe, successful landing. So yeah. One guy was a little bit injured, but nobody got killed. The guy ejected from the F-35. And you can see it in the video. If you look on Facebook, you search around long enough, you can find it.
Well, if you just Google it like I did, here it is. So.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
So let's go ahead and take a quick break. We'll watch the video, and then we'll come back if you like, right here on FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This is SDORC Dirt Radio with Audrey and Ed. We've been sitting here chatting for about an hour right now, talking about what's the latest news. And this is the only place you're going to get true, upfront, and honest news on what's going on in all of the off-road parks here in California and beyond, if there's ever any additional news. So you were mentioning, Ed, at the end,
talking about the plane crash out there, and a friend of mine heard about it, and she was really interested. She works for a defense contractor, and she wanted to, Jean McConaughey,
yeah,
wanted to go out there and see the wreckage. She imagined there'd be hundreds of people walking around through bits of airplane, so she drove out there, and the MPs wouldn't let her anywhere near.
Oh, heck no.
You know.
That
airplane, that's the most modern thing that we have.
It's the real deal.
We don't want anybody looking at it who's not supposed to.
That's exactly right. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Now, some friends of mine were riding like decades ago out to the south of there, and they came across a plane wreck. And there was pieces of metal all around, and the guy picked up a piece that had an insignia on it, and he took it with him, and he showed it to a friend. He's like, I remember that plane crash. I was in the service at that time. And he said, oh, this is this plane and blah, blah, blah. So there are plane wrecks out there you can find stuff.
Oh, I know. Yeah. There was another video showing a boneyard. There's a boneyard out there somewhere.
Oh, you never been to that? Yeah. I've been to that a million.
Aircraft boneyard?
That's fun. Yeah. You haven't been there?
No. They let you crawl around?
No.
Oh.
It's been fun.
I have a great story about that place. Do we have time?
Probably not. Do we have to?
It's fun.
I tell you what, we'll do it at the top of the hour if we run out of topic. How's that?
Sounds great.
Come on, Smiley. What do you got next?
Well, we've got upcoming events that we can talk about. This coming weekend is it's actually not this coming weekend. It's the following weekend after that. We just had the two-stroke championship this last weekend.
Two-stroke world championship at Glen Helen Raceway.
Yeah, so two-stroke was yesterday. The weekend before at Glen Helen was the best in the desert. The two-stroke championship world championship is yesterday. So we did have, I saw Desiree posted. She was actually out there.
I wonder if she rode.
Yeah, she had to have because there's no spectatorship. So, you know,
no,
with
they
the COVID,
that.
They
I,
do.
I
yeah.
called that you, spectators can go to Glen Helen now.
Oh, they can?
Because I'm racing there next Saturday, or this coming Saturday, I guess.
This coming Saturday?
Yeah, because today's Sunday.
Yeah.
I wanted to see if my friends could come up and watch. They said, oh, yeah, we're letting spectators in.
Oh.
Nice. Excellent.
Yeah, well, they let Barona last night let spectators come in, too. The second,
did they?
Second
see,
race.
We didn't go to Barona last night because I didn't think they were having spectators.
No, they allowed it. You don't
wow.
listen to Racer Radio.
I do, but.
Two-stroke, I didn't go to it, but it's interesting to me. They have a pro class. They have dozens of classes, every age group. And
I'm surprised they even have a two-stroke class.
You think they'd mm-hmm. outlaw it?
Wouldn't you think they would outlaw it?
You would think, and they're getting there, but we're fighting to keep it, keep those two strokes alive. I have 4 2-strokes at home, by the way.
Sure
I love
do.
My 2-strokes. So Mike Alessi won the pro class. They had a $10,000 purse. I mean, he's a name brand pro. Fifth place was Josh Grant, someone a lot of us have heard about, a factory pro. And you know what I think is kind of cool is that ninth was Josh Moisman. And 13, Dennis Stapleton, are both staff members of Motocross Action magazine. They're magazine editors. And they got 9th and 13th in the pro class.
See, you guys ought to reach out to them, have them call in for an interview.
Yeah, we could.
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
Well, that's your job.
That is my job. I'm a subscriber. I've been reading.
Well, then you should call them up and say, hey, how would you like a little love? And in turn, we'll have you come on SDORC Dirt Radio in lieu of an ad in your magazine that says we're on KCBQ. They'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God!
We should do that.
And you've already got the logo. It's on your mask, so you're halfway there. So you got to think. See, that's, and I'm only saying this from an outsider looking in.
Give
them a call. We that are so involved in the industry can't see outside the industry, and that's why I'm here to let you know that, because if we can get an ad in these magazines and not have to write a check, you know,
makes
then the
all the difference in the
well,
world.
Yeah, then all the people that are reading the magazines. And, mm-hmm. and are there any magazines dedicated other than SNS to like the dunes and off-road and all that?
I mean,
like locally?
Well, no, just I don't care. No, because you can listen to this show year all around the world. So that's what we need to do. We need to reach out to them and see if they'll run an ad for us.
Yeah, definitely.
And we'll give, I mean, we got enough slots. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it may not be sending you a check, but at least it'll get some exposure and build your numbers up.
Yeah.
You know, as far as listenership goes. So we'll talk about that next Tuesday because we're having an open meeting next Tuesday at the Ranch House.
Our general membership meeting is open. We are back at the restaurant, the Ranch House, with social distancing and wearing a mask. We will be at the Ranch House between Santee and Lakeside at 7 p.m. is the meeting.
The meeting starts
but
at
we 7. Do,
we come in early for dinner.
Right.
I get there around 6.
Okay.
Have some food and
chit-chat. Chair races, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, bench racing.
Bench racing.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they call it anyway.
Okay, so that's only open to people that belong to STORC.
No,
well,
that's
general.
Everybody.
Yeah,
thank
that's anybody and everybody.
That.
Okay.
You're welcome
if you're interested
to join
in off-roading.
Us.
And you want to figure out what is STORC, it's a good time to come. Bring your checkbook.
Yeah. That's right.
$25 membership.
Always bring your checkbook.
The most crowded meeting I can remember was right after the Ocotillo Wells lawsuit came. Everybody wanted to know what we're going to do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we filled that room.
So
we had standing room.
We are standing by if something terrible happens like that. We're the people that can make a lawsuit.
Yep. More upcoming events, though, that we can talk about. And we lost, unfortunately, SandSports Super Show and Off-Road Expo. They've been here in the state of California for years now. I think this is SandSports 20-something and Pomona Off-Road.
Remember when it started. We started going there.
Yeah.
In the early 2000s.
Taking our trailer, and we'd be there, and we'd vend there.
People told me it was a lot of fun. I go, there's no dirt bikes there. But then I started going, and it was a lot of fun.
Well, due to COVID this year, they have combined SandSports Super Show and the Off-Road Expo. So it is one event this year, and it is out at the Mesa, Arizona World Region. What is that, the center? I can't think of what the name of that. It's called the World Event Center for them.
I don't know what it's called.
Mesa,
but,
Arizona. I know. I'm so bad. I've only been to one event there.
I don't plan on going.
I've debated.
We're not going to work.
Yeah, we're not going to work it. We're not going to run it. I don't know if I'm going to go
I love motorcycles, and there's not a lot of motorcycle stuff there.
No. And then the following weekend is going to be the Best in the Desert American Challenge race in Parker, Arizona. I'm glad that I'm happy to see that that one's back again. We just had the Ultra 4 racing. The last race for Ultra 4 happened. I was very proud of the 84 car Ridgeback Racing. He podiumed second. Jason Brown and Jenny Brown. Good job, guys. That's my team out there. I love them.
Yeah.
Ridgeback Racing. I was very happy to
You're
see
a
them
fan?
Take
Do you
second.
Know anybody personally there?
Yeah, yeah. When I worked at High Master Metalworks, they sponsored them and we teamed up. We redid their entire suspension and everything. They shipped their car 4,000 miles to have High Master do everything for it.
Wow.
Yeah. So they shipped their car from Virginia to us here out in Lakeside to have
wow.
High Master
really?
Redo.
To work on
yeah. Uh-huh. They did the whole chassis of it. They did the suspension of it, the whole nine yards. High Master, they do fabulous work, just excellent.
Gotta bring them on KUSI sometime.
We've had them on KUSI once or twice. That really nice built out Jeep. It was bring the two little kids to Maddie and Wyatt. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're the awesome family, just awesome family. High Master, Nikki and Travis. So
that was Best in the Desert. So if any of you guys out there on radio
Ultra
listening.
4. King
Ultra
of the Hammers.
4.
Yeah, King of the Hammers. He's
if you have a team and you're looking for a driver, Audrey is a hell of a driver. And I would love to see her.
Well, we're going to get Audrey in the Rebel next year. We have to we'll start.
I'd like to see her do some. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah, but
Rebel is neat. It's a neat experience.
It's all women.
Yep.
Hardcore off-road.
Yep.
But I could see her going up against men. I don't think there's a difference
behind
the driver's seat of her gender. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but aren't you glad that there is an event for women only?
Yes. Yeah. I am glad that there is an event for women only, but at the same time, any rig, any race, you give it to me, I'll dominate it.
Well, all you have to all you have to do is start working on it. I'll hook you up with a girl by the name of Emmy Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Emmy Miller. And she's the one that puts the Rebel together and the Rebel and the one in Morocco. And she can guide you if that's something you're interested in doing. I mean, Ford's putting two Bronco Sports in.
I'll drive a Bronco.
I know. Two girls that work at Ford that have never been off-road together are partnering up. And then they've sponsored two other professional teams. And it's all, you have to just, the only thing you do to the vehicle is disconnect the nav.
Yep, because there's no GPS, no navigation, none of that's allowed.
And I think they put bigger tires and wheels on the vehicle and that's
paper
about it.
Paper map and a compass.
Yep.
That's right.
That's how you find your
way. And E-Ha. Yeah, I know. I've got two more girls I'm interviewing Monday that they're going to race at Mitsubishi. One's ex-military, and then the other one has been racing for quite a while. So, yeah. But if you really want to do it, I mean, it's from Lake Tahoe to Glamis.
I'm 100%.
All off-road.
Every year, since they started, I believe this is the fifth year, every year since they've started, I've wanted to do it. And then something comes up, and I have not been able to do it.
Well, first off,
it's hard to do. It's expensive.
Yeah, but
it's $6,000 per team member that you have to pay in advance.
Per
team member. So one team is
$12,000.
But
you get sponsors.
That doesn't include the car.
That's not including the car and what you have.
Now, the best thing you do with the car is you get the car donated by a car manufacturer.
Yeah.
One friend of mine, her name is Emmy Hall. That's where I get her mixed up
they
with
had the Rolls Royce
Emmy
last
Miller.
Year.
She walked up to Rolls Royce.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how about giving me
Rolls
a call
Royce
in
on there last year? It was awesome.
Okay. So they gave her a $400,000 SUV.
Why the hell not?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, if it's on your bucket list, you might as well get with it.
It is. I need to. I just, I get pulled in a million different directions. I've got everything in its mother.
Yeah, but
going
do something
on.
For you.
Isn't that the truth? That's what my husband says all the time.
Hello, why don't you do something for you? Well, we'll like I said, we'll get with Emmy and we'll see what we can put together.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and take a quick break, and then we'll come back to our last segment on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
The product that you have given me here is, as far as I'm concerned, sent to me from heaven. I love it a great deal. It's hard to find anything that's real nowadays. I enjoy it immensely. It's making my life so much better. I feel so much better. And during this pandemic, I have no worries whatsoever. My immune system has got to be at a top-notch level. I don't seem to get colds or anything. I don't know what getting sick is anymore. This is so cool.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or by going to balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code HEALTH.
Have you wanted to speak a new language but thought it would be too difficult? Then try Babbel. Babbel starts by teaching you words and phrases that gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations. So in 15 minutes a day, you'll be speaking a new language in a few weeks. Babbel is built around real life. It teaches you practical conversations that you will actually use. Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a language today. That's Babbel.com.
Cleanings, checkups, and cavities? Have Dr. Chang's dental practice at capacity.
Patient in room one is getting a root canal. The x-rays in room two are going to have to wait. We're down to one hygienist.
It's time to hire.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. The moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Indeed delivers 2.5 times more hires than the other branded job sites combined, according to Breezy HR 2019. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first job post. Terms and conditions apply.
The Answer, San Diego. Streaming now on smart speakers and radio.com.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to SDORC Dirt Radio on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
And if you want to help these guys stay online, go to SDORC.org. Tell them you'd like to advertise. We've got plenty of slots open. We'd love to have you help us keep this show on the air. So SDORC.org. All right, what do you got for the last segment, kid?
That's a great question. We've got a couple of things we want to recap from last week. One of them is going to be McCain Valley, Lark Canyon. The comments are going to be due by October 14th. So we've got 2 weeks left for comments, for the comment period open there. That is, usually it's just a dirt bike area, a lot of single track. You might be able to fit a quad. Somebody said side-by-side. I don't see a side-by-side getting through the majority of those trails. Maybe one or two of those trails, but a quad doesn't. A quad only fits through a few of them. I've done a quad on a few of them. Yeah. Uh-huh. But
not a side-by-side.
Most of it's single track. No. Most of it is dirt bike, single track out there.
Well, now you can drive a truck down the roads that service the windmills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you want to do some high speed running on those big dirt roads. So McCain Valley, it's a motorcycle Bureau of Land Management area. If you travel east on Highway 8, it's the second set of windmills before you drop down into the desert. And the BLM are looking at improving the camping experience there. So I give them credit for that. And I reached out to some of my friends who go there. And two of them said, hell no. We don't want anything. And there's a lot of people that when they go camping, they don't want any human stuff around. They want to pull up their rig and be in a natural place. They don't want kiosks and tables and shades and all that stuff. And then a couple other people said, yeah, I would like to have improvements. You know, that would be nice. So it's kind of like, from what I see, it's about half and half. So if you have a strong feeling about it, have you ever been out there? Go to the El Centro Bureau of Land Management website or SDORC.org website, and you find the McCain Valley plan that you know, find the link for that, then go to documents and then go to the environmental assessment. You can read about everything they want to do, and you can write comments. You send them to Alexia at the BLM, and she will take your comments and they will process them, and they're going to come out with a plan in the coming, probably take them about 6 months to a year.
Right. We got to get involved, folks. We have to get involved. And I know saying that you just don't have enough hours in the day sounds good, but you can, if you can take time to do the other things, just prioritize it. You know, just take and try to, you know, how hard is it to go on the website maybe just before you go to bed and make a comment, you know, and then
just say, hey, I hate those structures out there. Don't put anything in.
Or I would love to have more structures.
Thank you for adding some neat stuff. Right. We're going to have some water and table. So whatever you like.
Yeah, because we're not telling you what to say. We're just telling you to say something.
So you can't complain.
Because the more people, yeah, because the more people that get involved, you know, the government will realize the importance of what it is they're doing. And, you know, truly, I know we don't have a lot of love affair for the government, but there are people in the government that really are trying to make it a better life. And
they are. Guys like Joel Anderson.
I was going to just say, a guy like Joel Anderson.
They want to make government work for us.
Right. And, you know, here's a guy that totally supports the East County, and he's being lambasted in the media.
Boy, unfairly.
Unfairly. I mean, I know the guy personally. Ed knows him. Audrey knows him. You know, the stuff that the mud they're throwing is the farthest from the truth. If you dig into it, you'll understand. But be that as it may, if you're not doing anything this Tuesday evening, if you want to eat, be at the Ranch House off 67 at 6. If you're not hungry, be there at 7. It'll be a great social event. You'll be able to talk to all the powers to be. And I think is it just SDORC? Will there be other organizations
there?
It's just us.
People from other groups come.
Yeah.
Tierra del Sol people come. And
right.
San Diego Outback, San Diego Four Wheelers, guys right. from Jeep Clubs come mm-hmm. and other groups sometimes. So if you're with a group, come and tell us about you. If you just care, just come on and.
And bring your rig if you wanted to. We'll maybe do a little mini car show in the parking lot.
That'd be fun.
Right?
Yeah, we do that too.
Audrey's
we usually
bring
end up
her...
standing outside talking at the end of it once we get kicked out for a little bit.
Audrey's going to bring her Volkswagen. So.
We did get a couple of comments in regards to Lark Canyon. One was, what is it going to cost us? Is that mean that doing the improvements, they're going to start charging for you to go out there for day
they
use?
They already have been charging for camping. Day use is free.
Day use is free. And so
it's like $6 a night to camp. They give you a little envelope. You put the money in and put it in the box.
Yep. Uh-huh. And so that I don't.
$6?
Yes. Yeah, it's not very much.
So don't cheap out on us.
God.
And I know. Why do they even bother?
Yeah, well, I mean, they say so many negative things about the government. Then they turn around and only charge you $6. Come in. They could charge you 20.
Yeah, they could definitely be charging you 20. They
so
could
get
charge
on
you
the
for
line.
Day use, and I don't
there.
See any of
Boy,
that
Boy, you want
happening.
A peaceful place to camp, go to McCain Valley. There's no. It's just the sound of nature.
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful
dead
place.
Dead silent.
Quiet. Yeah. You don't find that everywhere. Oh, by the way, there's an election coming up.
Really?
And there's a congressman in the East County that we like. His name is Daryl Issa. I wonder if he'd come in and sit with us for a show.
All you got to do is ask him or have him call in.
You know, we could have him call in for 5 or 10 minutes. That would be fun.
Yeah, and then, you know, you can always have Joel call back in again.
Yeah.
You know, we only have a few weeks. That's a good idea. Let's.
And Joel really enjoyed it. I mean, he'd come in, but I mean, you know, if you want to keep the show, you know, like do ISIS in 1 hour and Joel in another hour, you know, give him the top of the hour slot, you know, just to.
Yeah, we can definitely do
right.
that.
Right.
Okay. So another person who works for the government. There's a new person in the off-road vehicle world. Sarah Miggins is now the deputy director of the off-road vehicle division of California State Parks.
Wow.
So she got appointed about 6 weeks ago. She had her first commission meeting a week or so ago. And she published a letter. She says, it's been 6 weeks since I was appointed by the governor. Wow, thank you, everyone. My time spent as an off-highway vehicle commissioner and as the commission chair has provided a foundation for me to help transition into this new role. During the commission meetings, I heard many times the passion and love for this recreation program and the positive impact it has had on all of you and your families. As the new deputy director, understanding your commitment and love for the program, my goals are to facilitate our off-road highway recreation opportunities throughout the state and to carry and at the same time, carry on the division's message of environmental stewardship. So we want to have fun out there, and we want to take care of the environment.
Wow. She sounds like a winner on our side.
I think she's going to be great. We haven't had a great one since Daphne Green, I don't know, 10 years ago.
Or right.
She got in trouble, and it wasn't her fault.
Of course not.
She got canned by Governor Brown. These past weeks have been incredibly fast and eye-opening education, reminding me of the high-speed razor ride across Johnson Valley I took recently, sometimes jaw-dropping, but always inspiring. I will say to you, the OHV community, accepting this position has been the best decision I've ever made in my professional career. I sincerely thank you all who have reached out to offer advice and assistance. I will be reaching out to all of you in the off-highway community to engage on issues and concerns. I look forward to working with you on challenges facing the off-road vehicle recreation world.
Okay, there's another one we need to interview.
Yeah.
And just so you'll know, we can do these interviews midweek.
Yeah.
I have a vast conference system that I use. I can take up to 100 callers at a time.
Wow.
But if you and Ed...
So if all of us can get together on the phone, say in the evening.
And have her on the evening, during the day, whatever you want to do, and give her like a 10-minute opportunity to speak.
I would love to hear what her plan is in regards to Oceana Dunes and what she has in mind to help save recreation.
You're in charge of interviewers.
And what they're going to do.
Okay, thank you.
Armando Quintera, the new director, because yeah. Sarah Miggins is a deputy director. Armando is the director, the head of it. And so I would love to get Armando Quintera and Sarah Miggins both
reach
on here and
out
see.
To your
they're
buddy.
Newly appointed.
Yeah,
and
but reach out to your buddy from Oceana Dunes.
They're Jim Sudi, the Friends of Oceana Dunes.
No. The guy.
Kevin Kahn.
Send him a letter. And here's the reason I say it. If he turns you down, then we make a big deal out of the fact that he turned you down. If he accepts, we'll be professional.
Well, of course.
If anything, I want to do is say, Kevin.
I want to grill him.
Exactly.
Why do you have it out for us?
What is it about the off-road community that you're not comfortable with? And then just sit back and let him rip, Tater Chip.
Dave, I like the way you phrase that. You put him on the spot in a very nice way.
Just sit back and don't say anything, and you'll be surprised what'll come out. I'll bet you a beer he'll turn you down.
Oh, yeah.
I'll bet you a beer.
A draft, high-quality craft beer.
Whatever you want, he'll turn you down because very rarely do you see these people want to come out of the dark.
Sure.
You know?
Just
they
like
want
the
to
guy
stay.
Joel Anderson's running against. I invited him to a meeting, and he wouldn't contact me.
No.
What's his face? I forget his name.
Voss.
Yeah. Steve Voss.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, and that just goes to show you. That just goes to show you. You know,
yeah.
It's,
if they have something to hide, they're going to hide it.
That's right. All right. Well, hey, this is anything closing there, Sunshine?
Please.
You survive.
Log on to sdorc.org. Become a member. $25 is an annual membership. Donate to us. Anything that you can do. If you've got an off-road business, we'd love to have you in here. Talk about what it is that you're working on, what you got doing. Next week, we are going to have, we were going to have him this week. Unfortunately, it'll be next week. Josh Epstein. He is the Southern Vice President for Cal 4-Wheel.
Cool.
Cal 4-Wheel is a nonprofit just like us. They've been around, I believe, longer than us.
50 years.
He is currently the president of the Hemet Jeep Club. Hemet Jeep Club is the oldest.
I have a question for him.
He is the oldest Jeep Club in the state of California, is Hemet Jeep Club. So we will have Josh Epstein on next week.
All right, folks. Well, that was SDORC Dirt Radio on FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Thanks for joining us for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl, the program that is working to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. To learn more about SDORC and how you can get involved, visit SDORC.org. That's SDORC.org. Join us next week at this same time for more of the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles while protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. This has been San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio on The Answer San Diego.